The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Sitting in the studio in front of me is Larry Bass, founder and CEO of Shinawill. He is joining me for today's What Made Me. You're very welcome to the studio, Larry, and well, you're looking.
Thanks, Kira.
The company just a couple of years off 30 years in business, which is no mean feat for any company in Ireland, but is definitely no mean feat for a media company. What's the secret?
Starting on radio. I started when I was 13 in pirate radio, and a career that went into doing sound, and then eventually decided to go to college as a mature student and study film and broadcasting, and set up Shinawill soon after that.
When you started in pirate radio, was it more the sort of DJ and presenting end of things, and were you a very confident, outgoing kid?
Confident, outgoing, probably not in primary school, certainly secondary school at all. I think things changed. A lot of things changed in my life around that time. I was presenting. I was Paul Goddard back in the day, as we all had our different names. My brother was Rick Davenport.
Why Paul Goddard?
Because I was a West Ham fan, picked up the newspaper to just sign Paul Goddard, and I needed a name because I was rushed on air. As you do.
Ah, all right. Okay. Now, I know your school actually seems to have been extremely creative in that it had this radio station for you to go and work in if you wanted, or to try out.
Well, we were on air actually in a radio station in the, what was then the Victor Hotels, now the Roachestown Lodge Hotel, which was across the road from where I lived. And that was pre the school having an internal mini radio thing, but it was very much, it wasn't on air, it was an internal school thing. But we had a very creative school, creative outlets. I was more creative driven than I certainly was academically driven. I was certainly challenged when it come to linguistics and language. Even my English wasn't great, so I was okay on maths and tech drawn and things like that, but when it came to getting the head down into the books, I wasn't great, but I was very good at retaining information. So when it came to exam time, I was able to just get away with it.
You say there was a lot happening in your life, and you'd had some pretty pivotal moments in your life, including the passing of your mum when you were really young, only 12 years of age. Do you remember her clearly? Do you remember that time in your life?
Oh, yeah. Like yesterday. I was a real mother's boy, and she was, you know, the person we came home to every day. She was a stay-at-home mom, and very close to her. So, and it was very quick. You know, she got sick in April. She was dead in June.
And that would have been back at a time when people didn't talk to children, you know, about loss or death, their grief. There was no child-centred approach, no therapy. It was, I presume, get on with it almost.
Yeah, and to be fair, my dad, who had to get on with it and raise three kids, my sister was only 7 at the time, my brother was older, and he had to get out to work, so we sort of reared ourselves. That's why my primary schooling, I was a different person. My secondary schooling, I was a wild child.
Did that shape you, do you think? That,
absolutely. Yeah. I think I wouldn't have been an entrepreneur had I not had that requirement to make decisions, get on with things. So, you know, when I started doing DJ and then doing DJ in hotels and for functions and hiring other guys to do it, I mean, I was employing, you know, people while I was still in school and running disco bars and running various things. And I was just doing it. There wasn't a filter stopping me. It was just get on with it. And yeah, I certainly wouldn't have been as independent of mind without that sort of change at home.
I've heard from other people who have lost their mother at that stage in their life that it does inform their thinking. It does inform their character, because you think, what's the worst that can happen? The worst has happened. So I'm just going to do this. I'm going to take this risk, take this chance. I'm going to push myself, because ultimately I know I can survive anything.
Well, I wasn't as critically thought out like that for me. It was just, you just did it. There wasn't a what's the worst? It was just get on with life. And that's what we did. It wasn't a moment of like, this is going to be a clear strategy. It was get on with it.
I know you've said in previous interviews, Larry, when I was reading about you last night, that meeting your wife was one of the most pivotal events in your life, one of the most influential relationships. And you met her in hospital.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I was working in the hospital because I picked up work. I needed a work. I had given up touring and everything else and wanted to go to college and do all those sort of things. I worked in Lochnasan Hospital. She was a nurse in the intensive care unit, and took a while. It was a slow burn. But once we went out, I asked her to marry me a week later. And thankfully, she said yes.
I was just about to ask. Was the answer immediate?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've had a fantastic life. She has been my rock ever since, and we've four beautiful kids, and life is a full circle. Our eldest daughter just got engaged on Monday, so, you know, it keeps going round.
Ah, congratulations. There's nothing like a family wedding and your first father of the bride speech. How does that feel to see your daughter marrying off?
Look, it's great, and Sean's a great guy as well, so I'm sure Carl and Sean will be very, very happy, and it's great for them. It's about them, really. Nothing to do with us.
I want to talk about Shinawil, which you set up in the late 90s. You seem to have gone to LA fairly quickly to one of these big trade shows where you go and look at what other broadcasters, other production companies are doing, and you came across a format called Pop Stars. Why did you think that would work in Ireland? Because it did ultimately work and completely change the fortunes of your company.
Yeah, and I wandered into that talk at an event in Las Vegas, actually, rather than LA, in Napa, and I didn't even have a meeting booked. And it was actually Catherine who convinced me to go, because I wasn't going to go. I had booked to go, but we had had a big business loss just prior to it, and I wasn't going to go. And she said, look, you're not going to get the money back. If anything, you'll get a few days. Just go away and think about things. So wandered into this talk. The talk was on pops, was on formats moving into the US, the example being Popstars. So we sat there listening to what this show is about, thinking, I get Louis Walsh to be a judge. I get Simon Cowell to be the record company. You know, this is a show that's made for somebody with a background in the music business. And went up and doorstep Des Monaghan, who was the producer from Australia, who was owning the rights to the show. And said, of a name like Monaghan, there must be a bit of Irish there. And he said, my mother's from Cork, my father's from Dublin, let's go and have a coffee.
So you played the Irish card?
Absolutely, always.
It works. I mean, it was gutsy to take on a production like that. And it was gutsy too to get somebody like Louis Walsh on board, because you didn't have a big, long string of successful formats behind you at that point.
No, but I knew Louis. And when I first rang him, he said, ring me tomorrow. And then I rang him again. And then, you know, typical Louis, he said, you don't have the rights. Endemol have the rights. They asked me to do that show. And Endemol had a different show. And they were talking to Louis about a different show. But eventually, when we sat down, and to be fair to Louis, he was full on, let's do this. And, you know, he had a plan himself. So it really was something we sat down. And without Louis, I'm not sure that show would have been the success it was.
And it was so successful. And you went on to have a string of other really successful formats in Ireland, including The Apprentice and Home of the Year and Dancing with the Stars, which is still going. But looking at Shinawil yesterday,
dance,
as it was, pardon?
Do you dance?
Oh, do I what? Dance, sing. I actually auditioned for Pop Stars, would you believe it, back in 2000.
Was that in Galway or in Derry?
Derry.
Okay.
Derry.
Mickey Hart one.
The very one, Mickey Hart beat me, but that's okay. I mean, he well beat me. Let's be clear.
I'll have to dig out that tape.
Too far. But you seem to have moved the company now, haven't you? You know, there's a real pivot into other formats and other genres.
Yeah, we set up a scripted division. We've focused on developing feature film and TV drama series, I suppose, to give us a reach into the broader global landscape. But we're not giving up doing entertainment television. We're also creating new original TV shows. We're in the middle of a brand new format for RTE at the moment, shooting it right now. It'll be on air in September. So lots of good news about that to come. And constantly looking to grow the business, because it's a business first and it has to keep going and keep growing. We opened a studio, the first studio in Dublin. That's where we shoot Dancing with the Stars. And we're adding another wing. Now we're going to, I suppose, a different side of the entertainment business. So we're opening a stage musical created and written by Brian Warfield from the Wolf Tones. It opens on the 22nd of July, even, should I say, in the round room in the Mansion House, called Celtic Exodus, a beautiful love story set in the famine. And it's incredible, the music that they've created for that show. We're so looking forward to bringing it to the Irish people.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Larry Bass. Lovely to meet you. And best of luck with the pivots, with the musical, and with everything else. Before I go, a reminder to check out the latest episode of Claire's Never Have I Ever podcast, with thanks to O'Brien's Wine. This week, Claire met with Vanessa Ogbonna. She was a winner of the first season of The Traitors in Ireland. And the big question, does Claire think she could survive 2 weeks in the castle and all that pressure at the round table? I think she'd do quite well, actually. Search for Never Have I Ever on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode.
The Claire Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.